parties to endorse and support a component of the budgetary process. This time, the appropriations bill, or what the average citizen would usually refer to as the budget statement, as presented by the Honorable Prime Minister and Minister for Finance. Quite apart from lending support to the policies and programs that are to bring much needed relief to our people in these times of economic hardship, I am also charged, Mr. Speaker, with the ministerial responsibility to further articulate the policy areas that impact the portfolios of youth development and sports. Mr. Speaker, it would be remiss of me to delve further into my contribution to this debate without once again thanking and acknowledging the benevolence and good graces of the people of Benue North, who on November 28, 2011, emphatically denounced and dismissed the misguided notion that the delivery of quality parliamentary representation had more to do with professional titles and professional engagement and nothing or very little to do with a proven record of community involvement, community service, coupled with the requisite academic qualification. And so, Mr. Speaker, on the basis of this misguided notion, the aspiring parliamentary representatives came, they lined up, presenting themselves to the electorate, some virtually unknown to constituents. There was one in particular, Mr. Speaker, who believed that a combination of party symbols and his profession, whether Go Party or Tea Party, would have seen him through. Little did he know, Mr. Speaker, by the end of the contest, he had been subjected to the worst form of political therapy meted out to a candidate of an established party in Benue North for the last three elections of 15 years, if you prefer. For the first time, Mr. Speaker, they could not win a single box in the New Riviere, and serious inroads were made in their strongholds. So it didn't really matter, Mr. Speaker, whether they came as pilot, preacher, maçon, or magistrat. Benue North was returning home to the St. Lucia Labour Party. And it's against this backdrop, Mr. Speaker, that I take my rightful place in this honorable house of the people to give expression to the policies and programs that have begun to usher in better days for the people of St. Lucia. Mr. Speaker, je voulais prendre l'occasion de vous remercier ces gens de Benue North pour supporter moi en élection qui passait. Je voulais dire merci pour Jean Gouin-Rivière, Jean Winfort, Jean Guavin, Jean Gadette, Jean Larissous, Jean Lafelle, Jean Olion et Jean Denis Rivière, Mr. Speaker, comment sorti. Mr. Speaker, my gratitude must also be extended to the staff of the Ministry of Youth Development and Sports for the support I've received from them ever since assuming the role of minister in that ministry. St. Lucia, Mr. Speaker, like many other small open economies, has been severely affected by the ravages of the global financial crisis. This lingering crisis has resulted in major economic challenges for Caribbean member states in the form of high unemployment and a less than satisfactory absorption capacity of the labor market, increasing public debt and debt to GDP ratio, inadequate levels of productivity across sectors, the continued volatility and inadequate reinvestment in key sectors such as tourism, steep increases in the price of food and other essential goods and services, insufficient direct foreign investment in recent years, among others. It is against this cloudy background, Mr. Speaker, of consternation and uncertainty that the wheels of state call for strong and decisive leadership. Leadership that resonates not only within the confines of a political constituency or a party, but leadership that is acknowledged and respected beyond the shores of our country. If ever, Mr. Speaker, There was a host for this challenging economic cause. We found him in the person of the Honorable Prime Minister, Minister for Finance, and the Member for Beaufort South. Mr. Speaker, during his presentation of the budget statement on Tuesday evening, the Prime Minister and Minister for Finance unveiled a range of programs that, among other things, inspired hope, restored confidence, provided reassurance to those who despaired, and Mr. Speaker, essentially, he promised better days. But importantly, Mr. Speaker, he cautioned that we are on a slippery slope and that the challenge ahead is, in fact, daunting. That notwithstanding, Mr. Speaker, the youth and sports fraternity stands to benefit immensely from the range of policies and programs mentioned. This government, Mr. Speaker, believes that our youth must be the building block of our national development plan. The youth policies to which we subscribe are designed to give young people the opportunities and the avenues that they need to realize their full potential. Mr. Speaker, during the debate on the estimate, I alluded to the fact that the youth development component of our program had existed in the shadows of sports for too long, and that the time had come for my ministry to ascribe equal or greater importance to youth development as compared to what is meted out or ascribed to football, cricket, track and field, swimming, and so on. Mr. Speaker, if I were to echo the sentiments of the Honorable Prime Minister, the unemployment situation in St. Lucia is a source of concern for the entire government. However, my ministry, the Ministry for Youth Development and Sports, is particularly anxious about the vexing issue of youth unemployment. The situation is at crisis proportions in our country at the moment. And this, Mr. Speaker, has very adverse implications for the youth of our country. Earlier this year, the International Labour Organization, ILO, and the Commonwealth Youth Programme partnered with the government of St. Lucia in hosting a three-day regional seminar which sought to formulate policies aimed at developing strategic employment opportunities for our young people. Mr. Speaker, a report compiled by former Commonwealth Youth Programme Director for the Caribbean, Mr. Henry Charles, a St. Lucian like myself, that report, Mr. Speaker, was compiled and unveiled at that seminar. And the report underscored the magnitude of the unemployment situation among our youth. Mr. Speaker, the global unemployment situation has become a source of grave concern as well. And that is the case for countries, as I said, throughout all regions of the world. This unfortunate situation has exacerbated by the seemingly never-ending economic recession. And at the heart of this crisis is the disproportionate manner in which young people are affected. Globally, young people are nearly three times as likely to be unemployed as their senior counterparts. And even those young persons, Mr. Speaker, who are employed are increasingly likely to find themselves in part-time employment. In the Caribbean, the issue of rising youth unemployment has been at the forefront of the political and economic agendas of all political parties and governments alike. In St. Lucia, official statistics indicate that unemployment, Mr. Speaker, of young men under the age of 20 is as high as 62%. Unemployment for young men under the age of 20 is as high as 62%, while for young girls in this age group, it is just as bad at 57%. According to the Department of Statistics, Mr. Speaker, every year, more than 3,000 young people leave school entering the job market. And if unemployment stays at the current high levels or trends, Mr. Speaker, this means that every year we will have increased numbers of frustrated, unemployed young persons walking our streets. Mr. Speaker, during his presentation of the policy statement on Tuesday, May 8th, the Prime Minister provided ample evidence that our government is committed to addressing youth unemployment with programs, Mr. Speaker, such as NICE, HOPE, SMILES, YEP, the Youth Agricultural Entrepreneurship Program. Mr. Speaker, we are hoping that some relief will come the way of our young people. Mr. Speaker, unemployment will also be created through the STEP program and the creative industries. The STEP program, Mr. Speaker, through the STEP program, my ministry has proposed that we use the interest of our youth in developing innovative activities that can open up a new economic frontier. Our society, our country, basks, Mr. Speaker, in the fact that we have produced 2 Nobel laureates. I believe that we have many more just waiting to be provided with the opportunity to demonstrate their prowess and ability. So we have proposed that we undertake to provide our youth with the opportunities to teach and work with each other on projects never before used. This will be based, Mr. Speaker, on their day-to-day interests, which we will use to create a new mindset, a new thrust in our society. We will use their creative juices, Mr. Speaker, to create new unconventional opportunities for our young people. These projects, Mr. Speaker, and work experiences will also strengthen the fiber of community cohesion and cause our young people to contribute to their communities in their own way and to the country as a whole. This type of activity must propel us forward to become a more holistic society based on community spirit and community togetherness. We need the communities to lend their support, Mr. Speaker, to the young people, to trust them, to embrace them, and to help them succeed as they explore their youthfulness and convert these into productive and meaningful activities. Mr. Speaker, youth is characterized by energy, action, passion, exuberance, among other objectives. And we, Mr. Speaker, must use these positives to create a new niche that can be exploited for the benefit of all. Therefore, we will endeavor to use the following, Mr. Speaker, to engage our youth by using their positions, Mr. Speaker, to new frontiers of opportunity and development. We will seek to create employment, Mr. Speaker, in the Ministry of Youth Development through what we call the Physical Education Teaching Assistance Program. Coaches assistants, Mr. Speaker, sport interns, playing field maintenance assistants, office assistants, dance instructors, community mediators, media assistants, after-school project assistants, youth facilitators, community youth club development assistants, and so on. And this, Mr. Speaker, we are hoping to do in partnership with the NICE project and other agencies charged with the responsibility of creating employment for our young people. Mr. Speaker, my ministry is excited about engaging scores of young persons around the island. They will work, Mr. Speaker, with their communities and schools, delivering their services in a professionally accepted mode. Of course, Mr. Speaker, we will provide training to these young persons to enable them to understand their role and refine their skills. We are hoping this will result, Mr. Speaker, in a manner, Mr. Speaker, that will bring about a resurgence of community activity and healthy rivalry as the communities will be engaged, Mr. Speaker, to produce the best in the various fields. You see, Mr. Speaker, we believe in youth working with youth. Mr. Speaker, I do not want to claim ministerial responsibility for the creative industries, but I cannot hide my passion and my interest in this particular area of policy development. The Creative Industries portfolio, Mr. Speaker, as I said, it does not reside or belong to me. However, Mr. Speaker, my interest in this particular area, Mr. Speaker, is one that I must confess. Mr. Speaker, the Creative Industries was designed to give expression to the many talents that our young people have. The creation of an entity specifically addressing the potential of the youth and the youth story of the creative industry demonstrates the vision of this government. We believe that a demonstration of right attitude, Mr. Speaker, can one day attain the heights and standards of the Jamaicans, the Americans, and other countries where creative industries have propelled young people to the heights of nation building, and national development. We have the potential, Mr. Speaker, but we must nurture it. We must study it. We must create it, and we must exploit it by giving our young people the necessary skills and knowledge to be able to compete with the rest of the world. If we empower our youth with the know-how, they will in quick time create a name for themselves and by extension, a name for St. Lucia. We must expose them early to the rudiments of the creative industry and what propels it and the requirements of being a devoted professional if one wants to be successful. But we must, Mr. Speaker, create the environment right here in St. Lucia. St. Lucia will not provide them with the correct mindset, attitude, etiquette, business acumen, and other traits if, Mr. Speaker, we do not get the structures right. So, Mr. Speaker, this new entity will provide the necessary opportunities for our youth interested in pursuing professional careers in the fields of music, dance, event management, computer graphic design, computer apps, cell phone apps, fashion design, among others in the industry. Mr. Speaker, we must not see this as an opportunity to do the same old things that we have done for centuries. We must innovate. We must take our traditions and create new fashions based on these. We must take our potential, Mr. Speaker. We must take our traditional music, Mr. Speaker, and create new music from these. We must take the technology, Mr. Speaker, and create new ideas from the existing ones. We must create events that will pull the rest of the world to St. Lucia. Events that portray our uniqueness in a modern fashion, Mr. Speaker, by the technology that I just mentioned. We must modernize and in some instances recreate our folklore so that it can be marketed and promoted by the technology to reach every single facet of our society. In other words, Mr. Speaker, we must know what we have and explore how we can rebrand and redevelop. Mr. Speaker, we will promote the information and communication technology sector and make access to the internet easier and cheaper for our young people. We will also train our youth so that they can take advantage, Mr. Speaker, of the existing economic opportunities that ICT provides. Today, Mr. Speaker, I am extremely pleased that as a government, we are poised to make good on our job creation promises. Mr. Speaker, we will launch a national mentoring program that will encourage adults to serve as positive role models for young people. Many governments throughout the world have recognized the value of mentorship programs, and there is ample evidence, Mr. Speaker, that thousands of young persons have benefited by participating in such programs. This mentorship program that we're proposing, Mr. Speaker, will strive to match older volunteers with younger participants for the specific purpose of building a relationship of trust and respect. This, we expect, Mr. Speaker, will be accomplished by integrating a variety of program themes, such as conflict resolution, pregnancy prevention, involvement in sports and other areas of youth indulgence. Mr. Speaker, an effective mentorship program is one of the best things you can do to support children and youth in our country, particularly those from deprived communities. Mr. Speaker, the resurgence of uniform groups is a priority for my ministry. Over the years, we've witnessed a decline registered in various groups in our country. These uniform groups, namely the Cadet Corps, the Boy Scouts, the Girl Guides, and the Pathfinders, among others, Mr. Speaker, are in need of help. Mr. Speaker, the number of uniform groups, Mr. Speaker, have dwindled. But there are a tremendous number of benefits, Mr. Speaker, that can be derived for young persons if they enroll in such groups. These groups, Mr. Speaker, among other things, they lead to the development of interests and skills. They provide adventure for young people. They promote diversity. They create fellowship. They teach duty to God and country. And Mr. Speaker, these are year-round groups, unlike the football clubs and the cricket clubs that operate on a seasonal basis. And very importantly, Mr. Speaker, these groups instill discipline. Mr. Speaker, we will work with these organizations in our collective quest to meaningfully engage our young people, particularly, Mr. Speaker, those who do not have a sporting orientation. For too long, Mr. Speaker, the youth programs in our country have left out the young people who do not partake in football, cricket, or traditional sports. And we have to provide support to these groups, Mr. Speaker, that are not so aligned. Mr. Speaker, reducing crime and violence among young persons is a priority for this government. A significant portion of the crimes committed are attributed to youth. The vast majority of our people, Mr. Speaker, I need to add, the vast majority of our young people are law-abiding and honest. But they also have impressionable minds. And this is why it is so important for our government, Mr. Speaker, and our leaders to set the right example. We are serious about reducing crime, Mr. Speaker, and violence, and to do this, we will take the following steps. We will work closely with organizations such as RISE and CARE to provide greater support to children who have dropped out of school. We want to make sure that as many children as possible get a second chance to complete their education. We will also provide support, Mr. Speaker, for the work of these private citizens who set up after-school and homework clubs in poor communities. The more, Mr. Speaker, we can keep our children and young people engaged in positive learning, the less likely they will turn to a life of crime. We will promote anti-violence messages in all media, and we will work with our media houses to encourage them to voluntarily control programs that promote violence. We will work towards prohibiting the sale of alcohol, Mr. Speaker, at all youth-related activities, and also explore the likelihood of imposing stiffer penalties for the sale of alcohol to minors. We will develop programs, Mr. Speaker, to assist parents, particularly those who live in high-risk areas, develop the parenting skills that are necessary for them to cope with the challenging task of child rearing. Mr. Speaker, we should be able during this financial year to conduct a comprehensive review of the National Youth Policy. And we are hoping, Mr. Speaker, to partner the Commonwealth Youth Program where that is concerned. We will embark on a program, Mr. Speaker, where we can solicit the views of young people in terms of the modernization and amelioration of the current policy document with a view, Mr. Speaker, to making it more relevant to the prevailing situations in our society today. Mr. Speaker, ever since we announced the allocation for sports, there has been a buzz of excitement in the youth and sports fraternity. Young athletes are beginning to speak of their dreams again. older athletes are considering coming out of retirement. Because for them, Mr. Speaker, in the words of a predecessor sports minister, the budget contains measly things. But Mr. Speaker, resources alone will not cut it for us. In order to get the maximum benefit from the millions allocated, we have to embark on a massive overhauling, Mr. Speaker, of the system that looks after the administration of different sports in this country. Mr. Speaker, attention must be given to the relationship between the sports fraternity and the media, and media coverage for sports in general. Mr. Speaker, as I said at this year's Sports Awards ceremony, and I will reiterate in this honorable house, there is the urgent need for more local sports coverage in the media. The Ministry of Youth Development and Sports will seek the collaboration of the National Television Network, NTN, and the Government Information Service, as well as other major media houses, in an effort to promote sports and assist in developing the much talked about sporting culture in our country. The Ministry of Youth Development, Mr. Speaker, is fully aware of its responsibilities as a social partner in the development of our nation, and therefore we stand ready to team up with as many state agencies as possible in our collective quest, Mr. Speaker, for a much better St. Lucia for all. Mr. Speaker, we have already commenced dialogue with the Ministry of Health with a view to playing a lead role in combating chronic non-communicable diseases such as diabetes and hypertension. We will commit resources, Mr. Speaker, to the All Sports for All program, Mr. Speaker, as has been pronounced by the Prime Minister. And I need to say, Mr. Speaker, that credit for the conceptualization of that particular program must be given to the previous government. They were the ones, Mr. Speaker, who started the Sports for All program, and we have decided to keep it, Mr. Speaker. But we are going to give greater expression to that program, and that has been done with an increased allocation where that is concerned. Mr. Speaker, we need, as much as possible, Mr. Speaker, as a matter of urgency, to get our population engaged in sports. And whether for purposes of competition or recreation, we have to get St. Lucians engaged in physical activity. And the participation, Mr. Speaker, of a wide cross-section of persons in the society is being sought. Mr. Speaker, also unveiled at this year's Sports Awards ceremony is the initiative of this government to appoint a sports scholarship, or to set up rather, a sports scholarship desk in the Ministry of Youth Development and Sports. One novel, Mr. Speaker, implementation, as I said, is the establishment of a sports scholarship desk. We recognize the tremendous contribution which sports can make to one's educational and occupational advancement, and hence, Mr. Speaker, special prominence will be bestowed on that aspect of our mandate. The appointment of the sports scholarship coordinator, Mr. Speaker, will be a fillip in achieving this goal. Among the primary responsibilities of the coordinator would be to liaise with all national sporting associations as well as reputable colleges and universities from countries which are willing to offer sporting scholarships to our sportsmen and sportswomen. The scholarship, Mr. Speaker, may not be limited directly to sporting disciplines, but can include areas such as sports medicine, sports psychology, sports management, sports marketing, etc. Mr. Speaker, the strengthening of associations, Mr. Speaker, and addressing the club structure in this country is a priority of my ministry. And critical to our success, Mr. Speaker, as a sporting nation, is the quality of individuals and organizations that administer our sports programs. As stated before, Mr. Speaker, we cannot achieve our desired goals and objectives if we do not have the right personnel, and if our organizations, the organizations that are charged with the responsibility to effect those programs, are not properly structured, Mr. Speaker. The requisite support, Mr. Speaker, has to be given to all associations and sports clubs in this country, which was you, Mr. Speaker, to help them create that sporting culture. And Mr. Speaker, let me say that support in this regard does not necessarily have to be manifested in the form of money, because money alone will not do it for us, Mr. Speaker. We will have to collaborate, Mr. Speaker, with all the sporting associations, all the district different sports councils, and all the clubs, which was you, Mr. Speaker, in making St. Lucia a better place for sportsmen and sportswomen. Mr. Speaker, we have committed to the lighting up of playing fields or playing facilities in general. Again, Mr. Speaker, I have to give kudos to the previous administration for embarking on such an initiative during their tenure in office. But Mr. Speaker, we should not go about it as they did. In the debate on the estimates, I did allude, Mr. Speaker, to my ministry adopting a policy of electrification that would be more equitable, as opposed to what obtained, Mr. Speaker, where one particular constituency can have two playing fields that are lit, while an entire region or quadrant of the country had none. Quite apart from installing the lights, Mr. Speaker, we must put mechanisms in place to guard against the utility company moving in to effect disconnection owing to exorbitant bills. As much as possible, Mr. Speaker, we will explore the possibility of installing token systems of electrification, Mr. Speaker, whereby, Mr. Speaker, users of the lights would have to purchase tokens, Mr. Speaker, which will be inserted into a machine that will trigger the light, Mr. Speaker, so that, Mr. Speaker, will guard against the wastage, Mr. Speaker, that has resulted in bills having to be paid over months and years, Mr. Speaker. It is important that we ensure, Mr. Speaker, that we get that level of control. Mr. Speaker, Sport St. Lucia Incorporated, SSI, as it is commonly referred to, falls within my ministerial jurisdiction. Mr. Speaker, in the coming weeks, we will initiate a comprehensive review of the current role of Sport St. Lucia Incorporated. And this will be done, Mr. Speaker, with a view to expanding the operations of this entity. I believe, Mr. Speaker, in my capacity as the Minister for Youth Development and Sports, that it is counterproductive to have hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment, Mr. Speaker, lying at both stages, Mr. Speaker, waiting to prepare the field once a year for an international cricket match, while less than 2 miles away from that facility, you have playing fields abundant for want of a lawnmower. SSI, Mr. Speaker, we're hoping will be given additional responsibility as we look to upgrade the standard of playing facilities in our country. Mr. Speaker, as already pronounced at the Sports Awards ceremony earlier this year, the dismal performance of Team St. Lucia at the Windward Island Secondary School Championship is an area of concern, and therefore, Mr. Speaker, it cannot be allowed to continue. The Windward Islands, Team St. Lucia, at the Windward Secondary School Championship. Mr. Speaker, the strained relationship between the then Department of Youth and Sports and the Ministry of Education has affected the implementation of the school sports program in recent years. And Mr. Speaker, as I did at the Sports Awards ceremony, I'm going to assure honorable members, Mr. Speaker, that myself and the Minister for Education, Honorable Dr. Lewis, or the member for Cascade South, we both are committed, Mr. Speaker, to ensuring that the impasse that has plagued the school sports will, Mr. Speaker, be resolved once for all, and that we will return school sports to the prominence that it still deserves. Mr. Speaker, an essential and critical component of the school sports program is coaching. My ministry, Mr. Speaker, have been promised a very significant allocation, Mr. Speaker, to deal with matters of coaching. And the coaching program that we are going to embark on will not be confined only to clubs or communities, but that, Mr. Speaker, we are hoping will have a significant impression on the school sports program. We cannot create quality or world-class sportsmen and women, Mr. Speaker, if we do not introduce them to the rudiments of coaching at an early age. Mr. Speaker, my ministry is in the process of setting up a coaching unit. And at the moment, Mr. Speaker, we have a cadre of coaches in-house who came through, Mr. Speaker, the National Lotteries Authority. These coaches are being paid by the National Lotteries Authority, Mr. Speaker, and they are employed on a short-term basis. However, Mr. Speaker, there is something fundamentally wrong with that particular program as it exists. Again, Mr. Speaker, it has to do with the geographic disparity that this thing is. Mr. Speaker, all of the 9 coaches operate in the north of the country, and that cannot be right. So by next month, Mr. Speaker, not only will we increase on the pool of coaches we have in-house to create a full coaching department, but we will ensure, Mr. Speaker, that every pocket of St. Lucia will be touched as far as coaching is concerned. Mr. Speaker, in its current form, the inter-secondary school sports meet is unacceptable. What we refer to as inter-sec, Mr. Speaker, is unacceptable. And there is no reason, Mr. Speaker, why the premier track and field event for young athletes in this country has to exist, Mr. Speaker, in the shadow of the senior games, both in terms of interest and both in terms of organization. And Mr. Speaker, I have recognized the need to engage all stakeholders to ensure that next year's inter-sec becomes, it's done, Mr. Speaker, with the kind of discipline, Mr. Speaker, and purpose that will make this particular activity one of the centerpiece events, Mr. Speaker, on the list, on the calendar of activities for sports in our country. Inter-sec has to feature, Mr. Speaker, with greater prominence. Mr. Speaker, we want inter-sec to get the kind of publicity, Mr. Speaker, and interest that 2020 cricket would get when being hosted in St. Lucia. We want inter-sec, Mr. Speaker, to rival Black Hat, Mr. Speaker, as far as interest and following is concerned. And while on Black Hat, Mr. Speaker, let me just take the opportunity, Mr. Speaker, on behalf of my ministry and the government, Mr. Speaker, to congratulate the organizers of the 2012 Black Hat football competition, Mr. Speaker, now in its 10th year. And as my young ministry, Mr. Speaker, continues to find its feet, I want to assure the organizers that we will collaborate with them once their objectives remain in sync with what we have for sports development in our country. We must make allowances, Mr. Speaker, to engage and embrace the private sector with the sort of confidence that agencies such as the Ministry of Commerce, Mr. Speaker, engage them. Mr. Speaker, this is an Olympic year, and today St. Lucia has had, we have three athletes, Mr. Speaker, who have qualified for the Olympics. Darvin Edwards, in high jump, the reigning sportsman of the year. Lavin Spencer, Mr. Speaker, the reigning sportsman of the year. And we have Daniel Brobra, Mr. Speaker, who has attained a B standard qualification in the spirit, yes, Mr. Speaker, in the sport of swimming. And that would delight the member for Babano, who is the champion of gender balance, Mr. Speaker, everywhere she goes. And Mr. Speaker, in the year 2017, St. Lucia will have the distinction or the honor, Mr. Speaker, to host the Commonwealth Youth Games. The 2017 Commonwealth Youth Games, Mr. Speaker, will be held in St. Lucia. We cannot wait till 2017, Mr. Speaker, to begin the preparation. We have to start now. And that is why, Mr. Speaker, I have welcomed, Mr. Speaker, the amount allocated to the upgrade and improvement of national sports facilities. As you know, Mr. Speaker, the George Odlum Stadium is in a deplorable condition, Mr. Speaker. And whereas I understand the circumstances that resulted, Mr. Speaker, in St. Jude Hospital having to occupy the facility, Mr. Speaker, I am hoping that soon from now, Mr. Speaker, St. Jude's will find its rightful home, Mr. Speaker, and that the stadium will be returned to its rightful owners, Mr. Speaker. All, Mr. Speaker, in a view to ensuring that our athletes begin to prepare for the 2017 Commonwealth Youth Games. Mr. Speaker, I have been asked to talk about the super playing field, Mr. Speaker, by the members to my immediate left. But, Mr. Speaker, I do not want to repeat what I would have said, Mr. Speaker, during the debate on the estimates, except to say, Mr. Speaker, that I am extremely pleased with the policies and programs that this government has outlined and which the Prime Minister has given expression to. I am particularly pleased, Mr. Speaker, to learn of the commencement of work quite apart from what obtained in my ministry. I am particularly pleased, Mr. Speaker, to learn of the commencement of work, Mr. Speaker, on a project in my community that has great political implications, not just for me, Mr. Speaker, but for some colleagues of mine. It was the Minister for Agriculture yesterday who made the declaration that no agriculture minister, Mr. Speaker, has retained his seat in a general election. I don't know, Mr. Speaker, if the same is true for sports ministers, but I want to give you the most solemn of assurances, Mr. Speaker, that this will not be the case for the Minister for Youth Development and Sports, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, as general policy, I welcome, Mr. Speaker, the intention of the government to commence work on the Zibonia Bridge, Mr. Speaker. And, Mr. Speaker, I am also happy, Mr. Speaker, to learn that our water situation in Delinov will be addressed this financial year by way, Mr. Speaker, of the commencement of a series of projects that I'm hoping, Mr. Speaker, that during this tenure of the Labour Party administration will be completed and that the problems will be solved once and for all. Mr. Speaker, in concluding, let me say, Mr. Speaker, that it was the Prime Minister himself who said that the entire premise of this budget is youth positive. There are a number of other policy areas I could have delved into, Mr. Speaker, but I will refrain from doing so, Mr. Speaker, hoping to give greater expression to these, Mr. Speaker, as the months and years continue to unfold. Mr. Speaker, I believe it is a good budget. It is the best that we can afford in the circumstances, and it has been crafted, Mr. Speaker, by the man who is most suitable to assume the reins of power, Mr. Speaker, the reins of national leadership at this moment. So, Mr. Speaker, I want to, on my own personal behalf, on behalf of the staff of the Ministry of Youth Development and Sports, and on behalf, Mr. Speaker, of the constituents of Denrinov, wholeheartedly, Mr. Speaker, endorse and support the appropriation bill as presented by the Honourable Prime Minister. Mr. Speaker, thank you.